Today is Sunday, October 15th, and this week on Glitch Therapy, we're going to dive into the crazy world of The Evil Within 2. We're also going to be entering the battlefield in Middle-Earth, Shadow of War, and we're going to talk about Ben's performance issues with the Super Nintendo while playing Super Mario World. Join us for all this and more on Glitch Therapy, episode number 32. Ben, whip out that intro. Happy Friday the 13th weekend, game heads, and welcome to Glitch Therapy. As always, I'm your host, Ramondo Burnside, and with me...
Ben Dupay.
Joel Gao.
Jose Ochoa.
What's up, gentlemen? How you doing?
What's up, bro?
Doing great.
How's life?
Just having performance issues.
Oh, yeah. Man.
I know. We've all been there, though, right?
No.
No.
I don't know. Poor Ben.
It's just me, right?
Yeah, it's okay. Just you.
Whatever.
Man, all right. Sucks.
I'm not there yet.
If it's in video games, I think we've all been there.
I texted Mondo this week because I've been like playing Super Mario. I'm really into Nintendo. Like, you guys are PlayStation and Xbox, and I like PlayStation and Xbox, but Nintendo's my jam. So I've been back on Super Mario World. Kids these days have it very easy with Mario games, man. They have gotten exponentially harder easier as time has gone on. Do you think? I mean, what do you think on that?
I would agree.
I'm with you 100%, dude, and I resent the fact that you say I'm not a Nintendo guy.
I sharpen
my skills on Nintendo.
No, I'm not saying you guys aren't. We're all game people in general, but my very favorite people are Nintendo, right. Even though they're dicks.
Dude,
sometimes.
I spent so much time in my bedroom growing up playing Nintendo games. I mean,
you were playing with?
No, save points. You know what I mean? Like, just grinding out through some tough ass games, and then you call your friend up because you know back then no cell phones yet.
He said, "Grinding."
Call up
on
your cousin
on the landline. Yeah,
yeah. You call up my cousin on the landline, like, dude, I finally beat it. I beat Ninja Gaiden 1 and 2. You know, whatever. So,
well, games were much tougher back then. I think that they've just gone way more casual, just to get a wider audience, sell more games, I suppose.
I don't know. I think part of it is more difficult because, like, you can save after every level in Mario now, but on the Super Mario,
yeah.
I got stuck on a castle, and every time I died, I'd have to jump back 4 levels and play through those 4 levels to get to the castle. You can't save on every level.
Oh, okay,
so,
yeah.
And then I realized, like, how to get 99 lives, so I didn't have to deal with game overs anymore. But if you're playing it, like, above board, not cheating or anything, like, it's actually kind of hard to get through all those. And the actual classic edition Mario, like, there was no saves at all.
No.
You,
yeah.
You
oh,
just,
hell no.
If well, you die, you're dead.
Right.
They were based on the old quarter, you know. The quarter slot games. I mean, you would get one, what, 3 lives?
Yeah.
And if you die, you could start all over.
Yep. Mm. And it's tough, man. I think I beat the original very first Mario game like once in my life. So
you died 10 times this past half hour?
Yeah. Yeah, the guys came in there waiting for Mondo to show up.
I love that stuff, though. I mean, Super Nintendo, Nintendo, N64. Like, that was my jam, just playing that stuff. And I took pride in beating all those fucking games, man. I'd do it again now. I just don't like, I think nowadays we don't have as much patience, like, to sit through stuff like that as much. Like,
and time.
Yeah, than you used to when you were a kid. Because when you were a kid, I mean, you didn't have disposable income, you know what I mean? Like, now, you can, if you don't like a game, you can take it back to the video store or send it back to Gamefly or, you know, whatever. You have multiple things to play. Well, back then, you might get 1 or 2 games for the whole fucking year from your parents on your birthday or Christmas or something like that. So you were kind of forced to beat a game that was tough, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, you were.
You didn't have a lot of choices.
Have options, yeah.
You couldn't, like, you could just go to the store and buy another one. I didn't have 50 or 60 bucks to throw away when I was like 12 or 11.
Yeah, man, and those simplistic times were pretty cool, man. Like,
yeah.
You could, it was nice. Like, you really got the most out of your game, man. And there was all those little secrets in Super Mario World where it's like the secret worlds and stuff, mm-hmm. and you'd spend your time like figuring out how to get every single one of them. I mean, talk about playing a game to completion. Like,
mm-hmm.
yeah. It's crazy, though, how Nintendo has managed to take something like Mario and get, like, decades and decades. Like, when did the first one come out?
Original Super Mario?
Yeah.
Some time
like
in the 80s?
I want to say 85-ish.
83. So, 93,
oh, wow. That goes back.
13, so yeah. That's 30-some years now that we're playing Mario
4
games.
Years? Yeah.
It's a big franchise, man. It's pretty cool.
Yes.
Well, it's nice to see, actually, in some ways, that difficulty spike is actually making its way back into games now for those people that want to go hardcore. I mean, like, what is it? The Souls games? The
Dark Souls.
Dark Souls.
Oh, yeah, those are tough.
Neo. I mean, it's a resurgence. Bloodborne.
Yeah. Yeah,
so yeah, for people who want to...
For masochists, good. I mean, we've got you covered.
I've heard that Bloodborne is, like, so hard that it... I mean, you either love it or you hate it.
I love Bloodborne.
I would say the Dark Souls games are tougher, but Bloodborne makes things a little more streamlined, a little bit more accessible at times. But you definitely have to take your time, pick your shots, and plan ahead. If you just run in, you know, headlong into trouble, that's exactly what you're going to find.
Shit makes me want to plug that game back in and play it.
I downloaded it. I think it was on sale on like on PSN for like $8 or something like that, $10.
What a great deal.
I was like, why not? I never finished it. I think I'm on the last boss, and I got stuck on it, so I just stopped and moved on. But
I haven't beat it either, so
I'd love to go back.
I've never played it.
Awesome,
I think I actually have it in my living room. One of you guys lent it to me, I think. But, yeah, I need to jump into
it. How do you feel about games like that, Jose? You get into games that are like really tough? Or?
No.
No, you don't like them?
No,
short answer.
Halo.
Pretty much the first game I actually ever played on, like, Legendary Hard was actually Halo.
Yeah.
The first one. And
Halo Wars.
Still passed it, so...
Yeah, Legendary Hard on the Halo games, dude. That's no joke.
Yeah,
you got to have your boys intact. You
have to like not waste your ammo.
Yeah,
or run around crazy because one shot and you're actually dead. So Halo was my Mario, pretty much.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of one shots and actually dead, I mean we dove into the Overwatch Halloween event earlier this week and
we got smoked.
How should I put this? We got sodomized.
Okay.
Pretty hard.
It was painful.
Pretty hard.
Graphic, huh?
Yeah, just a little bit. Sorry,
nobody brought
listeners.
The lube, man. It was painful.
Listeners, you guys deserve the truth, and you got it. That's right there.
Yeah.
Okay.
Wow. We got to play all the people that had stopped playing until the event came, and then they were like, yeah, let's jump back in, and then they sodomized us. Yeah,
Mondo was in fetal
position. It's a
powerful
metaphor, man.
The fetal position, yeah.
He's like, no more.
I don't think it was that serious. That was pretty motivational for the most part. I think Dan was the one that was whining the most.
Oh, yeah, Dan was.
So was it just like a group of people that beat you guys, like, or was it just random people?
No, it was random people. I mean, we won a few matches here and there, but we all haven't been playing it either. I mean, not to give us an excuse or something, but we've all been playing other stuff. And then the event came back around. You know, we haven't played in a couple of months, and we're like, dude, let's play. Let's get it popping. So we hop in, and you know, we win a couple, and then we ran into a group where they just steamrolled us, and then we played them a couple more times and a couple different other maps, and got steamrolled some more. And
well, the first group that steamrolled us. They steamrolled us fairly. I mean, they just played better. Then there was another group, though, that was cheating.
Yeah.
They had a lag switch or something was going on.
You lag out when you got close to them.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
It was, yeah.
And that's just not supposed to happen in that game.
No.
So, damn.
Yeah, but we had a good time still with it. I mean, I don't want to make it sound like we were just a bunch of whiny babies or something like that. But
so was it you three playing then?
The three of us, Joel, Jose, myself, our friend Dan, our friend Michael, and
we had Ross.
Xbox, right?
Yeah,
that's why I don't play with you, because I have it on PlayStation. So.
Yeah, I definitely would be open to grabbing it on PlayStation just to play it some more with other people. But
yeah.
It's a good time, and I got the Symmetra Halloween skin like off the bat.
Yeah, you lucky
free
bastard.
Box, I was like, yes.
You lucky bastard.
I didn't get anything.
I was so jazzed about that shit. That was
awesome. I bought the witch outfit. I had 1,000 coins. So
I got that too in a box, by the way.
Yeah, I know.
I was like, yes.
I was like, damn it.
I need to go to the casino, man. My luck's rolling on these loot boxes.
You lose everything.
Yeah, I got voice lines and spray paint. So yeah, I ended up just buying that costume.
And then also speaking of costumes, I dove back into Friday the 13th because they had their spring break stuff dropped like a couple weeks back or whatever it was.
Right.
And then plus it was Friday the 13th a couple days ago.
So yeah, I was going to say, did they have any kind of event for that day?
Yep. I think it's still going on right now. It's double XP. So you get twice the experience points when you finish a match.
Oh, we got to jump into that then.
And then I was using, they also added some effects. So there's rain now. So there's maps where you'll have it raining while you're out running around and stuff.
Torrential rain,
in the movies and stuff.
Nice.
So
make it harder to see.
I don't think it has that much of an effect on things necessarily, but it's more one of those effects because in Friday the 13th movies, you know, sometimes they're running away from him in the rain and stuff. So
you won't hear him maybe as much.
Possibly. I'm sure there might be something to do with that. I don't know. Mm. But that and the spring break outfits, which is all swimsuits. So, yeah.
Sweet.
Check that out if you guys haven't had a chance to.
Awesome.
It's good stuff. Did you, would you, I want to get your opinion before we move on to anything else. How did you feel about Blade Runner?
Oh man, I loved it. It was so good. Yeah. Did you like it?
I enjoyed it a lot. Yeah. It rose a lot of questions.
It's awesome.
My buddy J-Ray and I started having at work about it briefly. I kind of want your guys' opinion of it. So what did you think? Do we want to do spoilers?
So we are going to spoil stuff for Blade Runner. So if you're not into it, I'll go ahead and put the timestamp in the news where we stop talking about Blade Runner. And then you guys can just jump ahead to that point. So it'll be down in the show notes. But yeah, spoilers going forward.
Okay.
So you're talking about is Deckard a replicant?
Exactly, because my buddy Jerry, he was under the impression that he was a human.
Yep.
And I was under the impression that he was a replicant because with the speech that the lady that was missing the eye was talking with the main character, Gosling, she was talking about how if they can have babies and reproduce, then that changes everything and they're no longer just slaves to the humans.
So here's the thing about that discussion is they've purposefully left it open-ended. And it's kind of a choose your own ending thing.
Okay.
It's just something where everyone thought that they were going to answer that question in the new Blade Runner 2049 movie, and they purposefully leave it ambiguous. And like you can argue both sides of that and have completely valid points, and that's one of the reasons that movie is so great, because you can have discussions about like, you know, why he is a replicant or isn't a replicant, and you can talk about it for a really long time. I mean, in the very first Blade Runner movie, the vision that he has about the horse or whatever, and the replicants were making like those paper horses or whatever, like that a lot of people have said that proves that he's a replicant because he's having the same visions. But then some people are just saying, well, that's just a dream, you know, or whatever. So I mean they again in this movie,
what do you think?
You guys spoiled it for me.
I like to think
we gave you a warning.
I think he is a replicant.
Yeah,
just because that makes it a really interesting thing where it's like, was he willingly, you know, performing genocide on his own people? You know,
yeah, I mean,
it's pretty interesting.
Well, they give them a history, you know, so it makes them think that they're human.
Yeah, yeah.
So they wouldn't know necessarily that they're a replicant.
Yeah. No, I mean, yeah, they.
That'd
would
be an even crueler joke to tell them that they are a replicant and they're not a replicant.
Or does it even matter if you are a replicant, you know? Because at this point, you're so human, you can drink.
Well, what about Gosling? Gosling was a replicant for sure, because he got stabbed in the shoulder by Batista in the beginning of the movie and didn't even flinch.
I thought that was Batista.
Yeah, it was him.
Yeah, that was Batista.
A little older. But and then there's other points where people called him like a skin job, and they're like, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to offend you, you know, kind of thing. And you know, even when his like commanding officer was like berating him in the office, and they were like going over some stuff, and she's like, "Do your job," you know.
Oh, he is a replicant. Yeah, for sure. Yeah. There's no question about that.
That was the feeling
that came up too, and I was like, "No, he's a replicant, all right."
Yeah. How'd you guys feel about the length of the movie?
It's pretty long, but I think it was fine.
Yeah, I didn't think it was that bad. But
stuff if you made it shorter.
Yeah, I think for you to get all the points they wanted to make and draw the lines they wanted to draw, I think it had to be kind of lengthy, because if they had shortened it, there would be even more questions that would make you feel a little cheated by the end of it.
Yeah, a lot of those scenes people were complaining were too drawn out, like they waited a long time to talk, but I just felt like it was such a beautiful movie that it really needed time to breathe and like let you appreciate how awesome the stuff looked. And I mean, it felt so futuristic and retro at the same time. Yeah. Like it was just, I don't know, man. I just appreciated how things looked. So I was totally fine with a 2.5 hour movie.
Right. Well, just like the first movie, you know, they'd have those, gosh, what was her name? The one that
I don't remember. Decker was names.
The one that Decker, Rachel, I think.
Yeah, the other replicant, the girl. Yeah.
She had the hair like from the '20s.
Yeah,
something. You know, yeah, it's like so they kind of have a mixture of old and new.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, they definitely blend that well. I mean, that's kind of how Star Wars movies feel too. You know, it's kind of set like in the future, but it feels old and '80s kind of feeling. You know what I mean?
A little bit of a cyberpunk.
Sure.
Yeah, for sure.
I enjoyed it a lot, though. But
yeah, I did too.
Great discussion with that. Awesome. And that could be used in the college courses or anything like that too. You talk about, you know, AI and all that stuff, but I mean, that's a whole different topic to get down.
Yeah, for sure.
So
those AI questions are really cool to talk about.
I'd love to do do it sometime.
Ex Machina is a really cool AI movie. If you guys
have it,
seen
if you
want
to borrow it.
Oh, yeah, no, it's great. I love it. No, I've own it too. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's really, have you seen it, Jose?
I haven't seen it.
No, it's good
it's pretty,
stuff.
Pretty crazy. Yeah.
Dude who plays Poe Dameron's in it.
Mm-hmm. Who?
Poe Dameron from Star Wars.
Nerd card revoked.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Take it away.
That's okay.
No idea.
He's the X-Wing pilot from the new Star Wars.
In the beginning of the movie, that
I don't even know the actors.
That Finn.
Oh,
okay.
He was the...
Okay, look.
He was the engineer, right?
I'll dumb it way down. When the black dude is leaves the base with the pilot...
I know who it is now.
The white pilot is him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's an Ex Machina, though.
Yeah. He's the engineer, right?
He's the,
like, yeah, move on, leave me alone.
He's the X-Wing pilot.
No, but he was the engineer in the...
Yeah, he was like the main guy who like designed all the robots.
He designed the robots, yeah.
Yep.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I thought I recognized him.
Yeah.
You should know by now, I don't know anyone's name.
You don't know names. Even at work, you don't know people's names. I'm just laughing so
like,
hard.
Like,
on that note, maybe we should just go ahead and just hit up some news, man.
All right. Let's do the robot into some news.
Let's talk about loot boxes some more, because apparently Turn 10, who sports a 7, has been issues where they they were giving the VIP customers a nod for they basically had a coin doubler for all the VIPs that bought the better, the bigger versions of the game and everything.
You're talking about loot boxes for what?
For Forza 7.
So it's like the $99 one or the $79 one?
Yeah, so if you bought one of the bigger packs and did the VIP with it, they gave you a coin doubler, but recently they took it away and everybody got upset. And
okay, that's not cool though. I mean, if you're going to spend more money...
It seems like they did it because they were trying to coincide this with like their new progression system for the most part. So they took it away for people that already had it and were using that, and then gave them like X amount of loot boxes and stuff that they would then use, for their progression. And so fans got upset. These are the hardcore fans. These are the guys you don't want to piss off. They're the ones that are going to pay all the extra money for your game.
These are the whales,
and really enjoy it. And so. What happened is that everybody got upset, and so they come back and do a turnabout, and like, okay, we'll put it back. We're going to give you guys 1,000,000 credits and 4 cars, like a Jaguar, a Camaro, Acura, and a Maserati, and just try to like go back on it. But it was like, what the fuck, man? This loot box situation is getting like out of control.
Yeah,
man, that sucks.
Yeah,
agreed. At least they were willing to fess up and say, "Oops, yeah, we shouldn't have done that." But still,
to them, you know, those are your highest paying customers. These are the guys that buy your game every year, despite whatever your plans are. You know what I mean? You don't piss them off.
One of the many reasons I do not pay for shit after I purchase a video game, and that's why I love Nintendo, because I don't have to. I guess you can with Nintendo.
Well,
now, but
sure. Other than your Pokemon purchase that time,
whatever. Shut the fuck up. Had
shots
to hear with y'all shit today.
Yeah. Hey, we've done it. We've done it with Mondo, and I have done it with
Overwatch.
Overwatch.
For some reason, it's so much worse to do it with the mobile game. What were you gonna say, Jose?
I haven't done it. I haven't done it yet.
Good for you.
I'm almost.
Well,
hats off to you, man.
It's not a bad thing necessarily. It just comes off as a bad practice when it affects gameplay or it's a pay-to-win situation. I mean, Overwatch does it well because you're not paying to win. It's just cosmetics. It's just you can take it or not or leave it. You know what I mean? But when they tie it into your progression system and kind of force you into this feeling that at some point I have to buy these to catch up, it becomes an issue. We talked about it last week with we just lost
nice.
Our
lost,
sorry
a,
for the,
lost a whiteboard
sorry
here.
For the
why don't,
spike
why don't
in
we
my
hit
voice.
That pause button. Sorry, my clumsiness precedes me. Go on, Mondo.
It's all good. I forgot what I was saying.
Giving a round of applause.
Anytime at work, like someone hears a crash, they're like, "Ben, what did you do?"
Yeah.
Like I'm so clumsy.
You can't have.
Like
nice
I wasn't
things.
Even in the building when that happened.
Yeah.
Ben can't have glass or anything nice near him.
This is why we can't have nice things.
You're making the point.
Yeah. All right.
But we talked about it last week with Star Wars Battlefront 2 and how there's a level of that going on. And that kind of ties into my next piece of news that I was going to talk about. I mean, EA basically is defending themselves on the Battlefront 2 loot box system. They basically made it clear that the beta is only showing a small portion of the full game and that they will continue to fine-tune the game over time. Thus, they're more or less saying, look, relax, it's gonna be fine. There's more to this than what you're experiencing in the beta. I still think it's not going to be good, but I mean, I guess I can temper my expectations until we get the full game and see how the full progression goes, but it still seems like a pay-to-win situation for people that want to throw money at that thing.
I agree.
I did play the beta, and I played it on Monday. Mm-hmm. I thought it was only out till Sunday.
You've been playing it for the last couple of days, actually.
Yeah, you played it more than just Monday. You've been on.
Yeah, all week.
At least we're showing that you're playing it.
Yeah.
You're seeing it wrong, then. Unless my wife has been on, I'll ask her.
That's possible.
Either way, it's been going on longer than what everybody thought it was. Was the point, though. But yeah. I get what you're saying, though.
That's no, you know weird, when you though, look up and showing me playing because I only played it once.
Well, when you look up on what your friends are doing, it's showing you in that game like constantly for the last 4 days.
Mm-hmm.
Unless it's broken.
Yeah, that can be right.
Yeah, it could be. It could be misrepresenting the truth.
It's good stuff, but it's kind of crazy that they kind of doubled down on that. And they, I mean, bravo to them for holding their ground. I guess if they know something we don't, but if they're just, you know, saying that this is going to be okay and kind of like trying to force feed us that, you know, it's going to be fine. I don't really think that's going to be go over very well once the game actually drops. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I don't know about the loot box situation, but I can comment on the game and the playability and stuff. And I really enjoyed it a lot more than I enjoyed the first one. Were you able to? All
Same
I
here.
Could do was play like in ships. Were there any parts of the beta where you could walk around and do the actual battlefield where you're on foot?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, see, I didn't get.
No story
me.
Missions, though, just the multiplayer.
Yeah, but you'll
stuff.
Have to show me how to access that part. But the ship mechanics and stuff I really enjoyed. I think it's going to be a fun game. Mm. So kind of changed my mind a bit on that. Because I've had my share of complaints about that.
Right, so. Right. And then also, too, be on the lookout. Game Boy, Nintendo might be putting out a Game Boy Classic Edition in the works. Looks to be coming, which kind of excites me, actually. I don't necessarily want the old black and white Game Boy that didn't have a backlight.
Color.
Yeah, a Game Boy Color would be legit, though.
I just would go buy a Game Boy Color from, like, JCD and Hobby, though, man. I feel like it's just so much cheaper to buy that thing.
Yeah,
and
but if they add some features in it that are more modernized, like right now, wouldn't that... Okay. Come on, that'd be tempting.
Yeah, that'd be like, dope.
I guess let's see what they have on offer.
Yeah. It'd be like playing your old stuff, but then they give it more of a updated aesthetic, you know, kind of like a DS, but just retro.
Yeah, man, I'd be into it. Yeah, I'd be into it.
Not sure how that worked, though, because every game has come with upgrades as well. So that Game Boy would be pretty much pointless right now. Because every game right now has been updated.
Mm-hmm.
For example, Pokemon always has always size by size with the Game Boy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but some people want to go back and play those like OG versions just with a little polish on them. You just like kind of wax
some
it
quality,
a little bit.
As they say, quality of life changes that like you didn't have back then that would just make it a little bit better. But keep that old feel because that's the whole point of wanting to play that stuff is like nostalgia. Excuse me.
Nostalgia.
Nostalgia. Yeah.
New word.
But that's what I want to do it for, you know? I loved my Game Boy when I had it, but whatever, you know.
I'm into it, man. I would definitely purchase one.
Yeah.
I'm surprised I didn't buy the classic SNES edition. It's just because I already have an SNES.
Same.
And I don't, like, I can go buy whatever game I want from it from, like, JCD or any of the various vintage game stores we have here, and it's, like, $5 to $20, depending on what game you get.
It's the novelty, though. It's like, it sits in the palm of your hand.
Yeah. That's what she said.
There's some appeal. She said it to you, then. It ain't me.
Lame.
But you can do these things with your phones, too. I mean, there's a lot of games on the phones now, so.
Yeah, I think it's the novelty of it, though. I mean, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, but... and then last thing I have anyway is just Oculus has announced that they're going to make Oculus Go, and that's going to be releasing early 2018 for $200. It's going to be a standalone VR headset that you will not need your phone or PC to play it.
I've heard something about that.
It will be stripped down a little bit from the Oculus Rift version, so to keep the cost down and everything, and there also won't be any kind of motion tracking on it, et cetera. So just, you know, temper your expectations on that kind of thing if you do end up picking that up. But it's something that you can take, hence the name, on the go. So
they'll have Oculus Porn Go, too. So,
right,
you
know. Yeah.
It's just like you need porn on the go. What is with you?
I'm messing with you. Kidding.
That's something about you right there.
How about you were being serious? Like, what the...
Yeah.
Like WTF, Joel.
that actually sounds cool, though, the Oculus Pro or Oculus Go. That sounds like it could
be fun. I
think
it could be interesting.
So. Yeah. Oculus Blow.
And the price on all that stuff, you wouldn't just... And the price on that stuff is coming down on all the VR stuff with Oculus Rift and the Vive and PSVR. So, and like we said last week or the week before that, even I think it may have been, the PSVR is going to be cheaper this fall too, and they're going to have more of a streamlined version. So, if you have been waiting to get into it and haven't had a chance to, you know, kind of just wait a little bit longer than if you haven't already adopted it yet, because there are going to be some decent versions out there with they'll save you some money. So,
nice. Very cool. You got any, well, it's my turn to talk. Okay,
it's your cool. turn. Right,
that's cool.
It's on you.
Thank you for the letting me know.
Yes, yes.
So I have a bunch, like four pieces of news. First off, the new Star Wars Last Jedi trailer.
Mm-hmm.
I think I've watched it like 50 times.
I mean, maybe we're
trying
times.
To crack down all the codes that's in there. You're like, what does this mean?
It's more just like I've given up on trying to like get hints or whatever. Like, because whatever they do is going to be awesome. I'm just enjoying like the imagery, and like the porg is really cool. I love that little animal Chewie's flying with, and there's like a crystal fox in it that looks really cool. I mean, I can see it going a few different ways, man. Like, Luke could be evil, and Ben and Rey could kind of join forces and be good. Or they could join forces and be evil, and Luke could be the good guy.
Well, it looks like they do join forces at some point. Like, yeah, they're kind of like, you know, or like the possibilities there. At least they tease it anyway.
A lot of people are saying that's a red herring, though. So they're saying that that's just a misdirection.
Yeah, like he's doing it to somebody else. Like, take my hand. Yeah. Stick at burritos or something.
Yeah, I know, right?
I've seen this kind of power before. It didn't scare me.
Yeah.
But now it terrifies me.
I think and like seeing Mark Hamill act for the first time like in person as Luke Skywalker in decades is like holy
it
shit.
It gives you chills, man.
Yeah.
Well, actually he's gotten better at acting cuz he's done so much voice acting too.
Right.
Yeah, he's a fantastic voice actor.
He's great as the Joker. Oh my god.
I think the whole trailer is a misdirection though in a lot of ways. Because I got the impression that Kylo Ren was gonna kill his mom, Leia.
Yeah, I'm getting that.
It made
you
feel
that.
Like that, but I got a feeling that they just spliced it together that way to give you all these misdirections, and then during the movie, it's not going to be the case. He's going to be
maybe
barreling
but
down.
Then
on,
she's dead.
He'll be barreling down on somebody else, and it won't be him. It won't be her. It'll be somebody different. You know what I mean?
But that would be one way to get rid of her because she has passed away. So
yeah,
right.
In order to not put her in the next movie.
I don't know, man. I think he'll try to kill his mom, but then he won't be able to go through with it. So that's when him and Rey might switch places, you know? And he takes her to Snoke, right? And then he goes out to kill Leia, but he can't go through it, and he joins forces with them, and they swap places. And now he's the good guy, and she's the bad guy.
Or they fight together to kill Snoke.
Yeah, exactly.
Who knows?
Yeah, I mean, it'll be really interesting. Rian Johnson wrote and directed Looper, which I don't know if you guys have seen that, but
yeah, I've seen
he's
that.
Very into plot twists and like movies that kind of jump over all over the place and give you unexpected elements. And
I
stuff,
love a good so. Twist of the plot.
I do. Yep. So the next piece of news I have is there's a New Mutants trailer as well. Fox is now doing an X-Men movie as a horror movie. And it doesn't really look like a good horror movie to me is the only thing. Like, it looks like I don't know, man. We've like, seen this before, like jump scares, and I don't know. It could be good though. I'm happy for a change of direction for the X-Men. So I could be wrong, but we'll just see. The X-Men franchise has just let me down so much, you know.
Maybe the whole thing is just a misdirection.
Yeah. For New Mutants, you mean?
For the trailer we just watched.
Yeah. It could be. I don't know. It looks like. They're just making it a very, like, serious,
it's
scary
It's
going to
be a
movie.
One-off, though, right?
Sort of, yeah. I mean, it's part of, like, the Deadpool universe, and, I mean, it's in his universe, and the Wolverine universe. And
okay,
stuff.
I was going to say, any more with when it comes to, like, the X-Men and some of the properties that 20th Century Fox has from Marvel, it gets confusing because we're so spoiled with the continuity that Marvel brings to the table with their universe and everything, so... When you see stuff like this, you're like, okay, how does this tie in? This is clearly linking to Logan.
Yeah.
You know, and the hospital where the kids came from in that movie and everything. And it's like, how does that tie into this? And I don't know. It's a big mess sometimes. It makes
Fox,
my head hurt.
I think, messes things up because isn't it Fox that owns
20th Century Fox?
Right? Yeah. It's a constant reboot with them, you know? And
yeah.
Deadpool kind of made fun of it in that movie. He was like... I'm going to take you back to Professor X. He's like, which one? Patrick Stewart or...
McAvoy.
Yeah. McAvoy.
That was awesome.
These continuities get so confusing.
I love
and
it.
And he's like,
it.
Oh, what? Wait, we run out of budget here? There's only two of you?
Yeah, or? Yeah. I love the way he like pokes fun at things like that.
Yeah, that was awesome.
We still haven't gotten a trailer for Deadpool 2 yet, have we?
No,
just that teaser.
Just a teaser.
Yeah, production has stopped for Deadpool 2.
Oh, it didn't start again yet? I know it stopped when that... Oh, it's done?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, I know they stopped when that girl, one of their stunt doubles, died on set.
No, right. There was a tweet. Ryan Reynolds has confirmed that.
It's done.
Yeah, it's done.
Nice. That's cool. Good. And there's not a release date for that yet either. But I'm going to assume it's going to be around February.
That's when the last one came out. February, March, Day. Something like that. That'd be perfect.
Yeah.
Again?
Yes.
So then next piece of news I have, there's a new Stranger Things trailer. We all just watched it before the show. And it looks totally badass. Looks like they're just bumping it up a notch from the first season, man. Lots more guns and slingshots. I love that scene with the slingshot where everyone has guns and that little boy has a slingshot.
Right.
It's just like, man, that's so cool.
I think I watched that trailer as many times as you watched the Star Wars trailer.
Oh, you're that into Stranger Things?
I loved it. My family, they didn't know anything about it. And then when it first came out, I was like, what is this? And then I heard a couple good things from podcasts and stuff. And dove into it and I was like, we gotta watch this together. I watched like one episode and I was hooked.
Yeah,
it's just so much of that nerd
nostalgia.
Goodness baked into it.
It's read awesome. Paper Girls when we were doing Indie Comic Ninja, and if you're really into Stranger Things, there's a comic book that's very similar to it. Different storyline, but it's that 80s vibe. It happens in it's set in the same time of the Reagan Bush era. And it's called Paper Girls. It's about these four paper girls in the 80s, little girls who deliver papers on their bikes. They get into like a sci-fi story. So, but yeah, man, this looks cool. 11's coming back, which is a cool thing. And yeah, man, I'm stoked for it. I think I'm gonna rewatch season one actually.
That'd be worth it.
I think I will too before it starts.
Yeah,
Just the trailer kind of reminded me of the Warriors.
The Warriors?
Yeah.
What's the Warriors?
Talking about the classic Warriors?
Yeah. Warriors?
Oh, the Warriors is legit.
Kind of had that feeling to it. And I was like,
It was a gang movie in the Bronx. Mm-hmm. Bronx, I think.
Yeah, it's New York, yeah. I'm not sure if it's the Bronx necessarily, but yeah, NYC for sure, because the Warriors are from Coney Island.
Yeah.
But yeah, Warriors is such a good movie. What do you know about Warriors?
Not that much, but I know it.
No, cool points to you, man, for bringing the Warriors up. I love
the
Warriors.
Did I get my nerd card back?
Good stuff.
I don't know if that falls in the nerd card category. Just pop culture.
Yeah, I've never seen it, but I'll have to check that out.
Who am I to even fucking give you points or take them away? I don't know.
Hey, man.
You just gave me points.
Yeah, I mean.
So we're doing points or cards now?
Just put them on your gift on the card and.
Just give me stars.
Just reload the card up and go get a free drink or something.
You guys are done.
Smucky Rob.
You guys are done.
So I get some actual video game news here.
Nice.
Mario Odyssey game demo is out. I think it's at like GameStop. You can play Mario Odyssey on the Switch on their little demo systems. I might actually run out there today and check it out because I got some games I need to sell or trade in. So, you doing okay there, bud?
Jose's gonna need a knee.
We just took your
knee.
Card again.
Jose's gonna need a knee transplant.
Yeah. Jeez.
Why don't they let you play that on your home system? Why not just let you have a little demo? Why do you have to go all the way out to the store to try that? I mean, all the other systems let you try them.
Yeah, they could do it like a beta.
Just a small. Small little section just to
like
give you
a
taste.
No, that's not how Nintendo works.
It would be awesome if they did, though.
I know they
I'd
don't.
Be into it. But they don't need to is the thing. They know they don't need to.
No, they don't.
They've got enough hype generated. They don't need to do it. They're
people
just
are going
like,
to buy it no matter what.
Yes, peasants, you take the game as we release it. Yeah. You'll love it.
That's right.
And we all will.
And you're
going to
say, arigato.
Yep.
Don't get me started on Nintendo when they choose to do stuff weird.
Yeah. Well, it's not weird. It's just, they're popular enough. They don't really have to do anything.
No.
I mean, like, people are going to buy that shit, all damn day.
Well, I mean, that's definitely a testament when they force you to do voice chatting through your cell phone rather than just give you a fucking headset. But, what do I know?
What do you know, man? Obviously, a lot less than Nintendo knows, and that's me too. So, it does look like a cool game, though. I'm very excited for it. It jumps. It's like Mario 64 mixed with some weird side-scrolling elements, and I don't know if there was a game like that for like the GameCube. I've tried my damnedest to play on a GameCube.
Super Mario. I mean,
I can't play a thing on the GameCube because I can't get over the camera, how it goes left when you turn right and right when you turn. Like, I can't get over the mechanics of that system, and I bought it for nothing now. It's
Donkey
like,
Kong Countries, some of those were like that, the side-scroller.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Like, I might be able to play a side-scroller on GameCube then. Sure. I just can't play the open-world ones. Mm-hmm. So
yeah, some of those are pretty good.
I just hate how that works, man. Like, I'm so surprised anyone can do that, because it's just so hard to get used to for me. Maybe I'm, like, dyslexic or something.
You just gotta be classically trained, man.
Oh, we're shit, we're dyslexic. Yeah, so, so that's all I got for news. So, yep.
Yeah, well, fuck it. Let's move on.
Speaking of dyslexia, let's go to the main topic.
Ben's segues suck.
Yeah, that... True. That one was intentionally, but like I knew my first segue sucked, so I'm just like, man, I'm just going to lean into it now and just give bad segues that don't make sense.
I think that should be your new thing.
Yeah.
Like, no. Yeah. I'll be cringy. Like,
Jose's against it.
Yeah, I'm against this.
Speaking of Albacorp tuna, Mario is awesome this week.
Tuna.
I don't know. Anyway, I'm done.
No, you're not.
I'm green.
Just shoot me. Right now.
Yeah. If you can make some good bad ones, I think I'd be interested in hearing what you have to say.
Yeah,
I'm bad ones.
I'm open to it.
So you want it to be good and I got bad at the same time.
Yeah, I got my I got my snooty look on.
Like dad jokes.
Okay.
You have any dad jokes?
Dad jokes?
Yeah.
Just because I'm a dad doesn't mean I have dad jokes.
Why did the seagull fly over the sea?
Oh fuck! Here we go.
Man, that's just like my paper joke.
Because if it flew over the bay, it would be a bagel.
Lame.
Food for thought, literally.
Yeah, food for thought. Nice. That was a dad joke right there. Holy shit, man.
It was.
You just dropped a dad joke without even meaning to, man.
I don't even make dad jokes like that.
Man.
Yeah. But definitely
a dad
joke. You
just make the raunchy ones instead.
Yeah. I make the ones that you shouldn't say in front of your kids, yet I still do.
Yeah.
Some of my kids are, they're messed up.
I guess admitting it's the first step. I don't know.
Well, they've got this great sense of humor that's just twisted.
Yeah,
they're adults though, so
it's all good. Well, speaking of twisted, let's talk about Middle Earth: Shadow of War.
Now that's how you do a
and
segue.
And how twisted it is.
Learn, Ben. Learn.
When you have these orc captains,
it's not as twisted as
you.
The other one we're going to talk about, but that's fine.
Yeah, that's true as well. I probably would have been better safe for that one. But right. Middle Earth: Shadow of War, that just dropped on October 10th, so earlier this week. To rave reviews, for the most part. I mean, I know a lot of people are giving it some backlash about the loot box system. Once again, I hate to keep bringing up the LBs, but. It's a good time. If you like the first game, it's more of the same. They've blown out the Nemesis system even more.
Mm-hmm.
To the point where, Joel, you've been playing it too. To the point where I put the highlight on one of the guys that I wanted to go after, one of the orc captains. And when I did that, he knew I was coming after him, so he came after me first.
Ah, nice.
Like, he showed up. When I got done out of my screen, he just popped up. He's like, oh, I hear you're going to try to cut me head off. You know, he's talking trash. And I was like, oh, shit. He just showed up. He came to me.
And
he
you weren't ready
the war
yet.
To me. I was like, fuck you.
That was a pretty sweet British accent it was, there, bro.
Oh, well, they've got like over 100 different voices.
But they all sound like that. They all have these Cockney and like really, I don't know, gravelly accents.
Yeah, stuff. Yeah, it's pretty cool.
It's a good time.
And Crocky?
Cockney.
Oh.
Yeah.
Have you gotten
that? I heard Crocky.
Crotchety.
What the fuck is Crocky?
Crotchety. Have you gotten a second act then?
So when does the second act begin?
Well, when you get into the second act, then you open the Nemesis, you'll be able to start dominating and having your own orc crew, and I haven't gotten quite that far yet.
I don't think I've done that far either.
Yeah, because I actually had like, I did a bunch of online vendettas,
mm-hmm.
and I've gotten loot boxes through those, and one of my loot boxes had like cursed orcs and stuff like that, but I can't use them until I get to the next act.
Gotcha.
But you do get like legendary armor and weapons, so I can't say necessarily that the loot box thing is a bad thing, because you can actually get them through playing the game. It's just that there is a shortcut in which you can just spend money on them, which I have a problem with that.
Yeah,
I
think, I'm not into that at all.
I think you should be able to spend in-game money on them, but there are ways to actually earn them through the gameplay.
So, yeah.
A suggestion I would have, too, if you plan on getting into this game or if you've already started it, don't bother with that stuff either, because you don't need to. The game does a really good job of giving you upgrades for your armor and weapons and gear just through naturally playing it. I mean, yeah. you're literally getting drops like every time you kill an orc captain or when you take over an area just through fighting through the game. You're getting stuff left and right.
Like, yeah, tons I think of stuff.
In the hour or two I played the other night, I mean, I probably had to replace my sword like three or four different times because mm-hmm. I got a better one every 20 minutes or so or whatever. So just don't worry about that stuff. Just enjoy the game. It does a good job of giving you what you need as you play through it. So
I'm loving it. Oh, and by the way, when you start playing the game, you might want to go like on the intro screen. You have the option of signing up for the newsletter. I would recommend that you do it because it gives you an extra 3%. Permanent experience just for signing up for their newsletter. So you'll just get emails every once in a while about the game, but you'll get also an extra 3% towards any kills and any missions that you do in experience.
Cool. I don't need more spam in my email.
Yeah, but I mean, if you have something to benefit from the game for signing up for
you can
guess.
Block the spam, you know.
So. Yeah.
Yeah. Good, or you can eat spam.
Oh, I knew it. I knew it was coming. Another dad joke.
See, freaking dad jokes.
You guys asked for it, and I'm delivering.
Like, we didn't ask for it. I did, I think.
You want to
but
say
it, it's done so much better than the first game. I think everything about it is an improvement.
I think so. I think the weakest point, though, in this game so far is probably the main story narrative. The main story or whatever. I think it's the weakest part of it. The Nemesis system is definitely on display, and that's the highlight. That's what you come for. That's the main course. But I think the story falls flat when you're doing those main story missions. It doesn't tie into like any particular Lord of the Rings lore. I mean, it's supposed to take place between The Hobbit and the Lord of the Rings.
Oh, wow.
If you had to plug it in somewhere.
Oh, okay.
So it's supposed to take place in between there. But nothing about the story is truly just tied in there where it's like it's going to make, our Tolkien, like, cheer with joy, if he was still alive.
Well, it's not canon. It's not canon.
Yeah, exactly.
Shelob was nothing like what she is in this game. She was just a giant spider. So she's got a whole different thing going on in here.
Okay.
But, if you can look past that, I think you still can really enjoy the game.
You guys, are you guys into it then? What would you rate it on a 1 to 10 basis?
Mm. Oh, and correction, too. That was J.R.R. Tolkien.
So yeah, I was going to say, I thought there was a J in there somewhere.
I would, if I had to give it a grade right now, I mean, I'm not too deep into it, so I don't want to rate it too harshly because I haven't experienced everything that it has to offer just yet. But mm-hmm. just based on what I think I've played it for a good 4 or 5 hours since it came out, maybe I'd say it, as of right now, I'd give it a strong 8.5.
Okay. Cool. Yeah. How about you?
I'd go with a 9 so far. We'll see if that holds.
Okay. And yeah, have you played it at all, Jose?
I totally forgot this game, so okay. I watched gameplay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I did too. And it might actually be something I would buy or borrow from you guys and check it out. It's just I'm not normally into the Knights and Kings thing in video games. Like, there are games that are just critically acclaimed that are good, but I just can't get into it because I'm not into swords and shit. So
I hear the game gets a little rough toward the end where you
really
feel...
Past the end game, I think, after you finish the game, it can get a little rough, but you have to grind a little bit extra, from what I understand.
Yeah.
But the fighting's a lot like, if you like the Arkham
Batman
games.
Batman Arkham games. It's like
a
that.
Lot like that.
Yeah.
Parry.
Hit Y to parry it or whatever. Yeah.
Cool.
But you'll get some really cool powers, too, where you can, like, zoom in and just, like, have your Wraith, like, take out 10 different
then
things.
Fell over. Yeah. I think my only other gripe besides the story being a little weak, I would say, is just sometimes the systems, as they work together and they intermingle with each other, can be a little little daunting, a little overwhelming at times.
Sure.
There's times where I'm looking through my menus and there's like several different types of menus. You know, you got all your quests and missions, and then you have like your vendettas, and you have your upgrade system, and a lot of them they play well together. But as you get further in the game, they kind of sandwich more and more on to the point where it's like, okay, fuck, I wish I could just strip some of this shit away. mm-hmm. and focus on just these things, because you get a lot of where you get distracted a lot with mm-hmm. you're heading over to do this tower and take out this orc captain, but then they pop this up over here and hey, we want you to do this, and then hey, while you're doing that, do this, and oh, you got to upgrade, and it's a lot.
Well, I actually heard that if you go into your menu, you can shut off some of that stuff.
Yeah, okay,
so good. So that you can concentrate more on the things that you need to do. So there are some ways around that, and that was actually one of the complaints of one of the critics. They said it seems like there's so much to do, and you know it's kind of hard to micromanage all this and all mm-hmm. that. But it actually gets better the further you get into the game. It becomes more fluid and easier to figure out. So,
and that's the weird thing too with the game with development of things like this, and as consumers, we kind of we say we want one thing, then we get it, and then we complain about it sometimes, you know what
sure.
I mean, where if they didn't put enough shit in there, people would say, well, this is really Shadow of War, is this Shadow of Mordor, you know, 1.5 or whatever, they didn't do anything different. But then if they go too far and give you too much, then people complain like, oh, it's overwhelming. So I don't know.
I think it's the nature of people to complain.
Probably. I'm enjoying it. That's the only thing that I noticed in the early hours, though. It's like, oh, my God, they're throwing a lot at you. So until you get used to it and get acclimated, I think it's a little rough at times. But
absolutely,
it's a lot of fun. Once you get everything, once you get it down and you know what you're doing, you kind of get used to it, it's a lot of fun. It's hard to put down.
And you start out weak again, like in the first game, but it doesn't take long to start getting powerful, and it's a lot of fun. I'm enjoying it, and I just learned how to ride a dragon, so that's
I'm almost to that point.
That's awesome.
Nice.
I have two more upgrades before I can get to that point, but
very cool.
Yeah,
it's, well, do the stuff. Side missions for Celebrimbor and the what are they, the ones for the Shelob, and you'll actually get extra points. Instead of just leveling up, you'll get extra points from doing like some side missions, and then you can get those abilities faster.
That's so what's up.
Just a little hint.
Nice.
All right. Fair enough.
Cool.
Well, shit. Let's
Evil Within 2.
Yeah. Let's do that.
So, did you guys like Evil Within 1?
Yeah.
I enjoyed it.
I beat it.
Yeah. Joel beat it. I didn't finish it. I think I got about maybe halfway before I stopped.
I've heard a lot of people complain, and one of my complaints about it was that the plot just didn't really make sense a lot.
It was confusing.
A lot of nonsensical stuff.
They agreed with it.
They fixed that.
And so the second one does make more sense.
Yeah.
Then,
apparently they've streamlined the story quite a bit so that it's not quite as confusing. There will still be some what the moments.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's still going to make a lot more sense this time around than the first time.
They reined it in a lot. And if you didn't play the first one, you can still play the second one.
I was about to ask you that.
Yeah.
You can definitely jump into the second one. They do a decent job in the beginning of kind of giving you an idea of what's going on. This game takes place 3 years after the events of the first game with the Beacon Mental Hospital. Sebastian Castellanos is your main character that you're using. Mm-hmm. He left the Crimson City Police Department, and he's continuing to be haunted by his experiences at Beacon.
Okay. And so, a little PTSD.
Yeah, know. And he's under the impression he's under the impression that his daughter is dead. And then, this is not a spoiler or anything. This is literally told to you right in the beginning of the game.
Yeah, there was a house fire.
He thinks she's dead, but then an old friend from the previous game comes back, you know, and to let him know that you know Lily is alive, and they've been using her. In their experiment with STEM, and so basically it's like how would you describe that, like a
STEM is what basically they went into in the first game in order to
like the virtual world that your brain creates
world, and it's like created by like lots of different consciousnesses, I guess, lots of different brains. It's just in the first game it was taken over by a psychopath.
Okay.
So
which is where the plot kind of develops on that, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's the main plot point.
Yep.
So in the new one, you're supposed to, and this isn't once again ruining the plot or ruin. It's not a spoiler. You're actually supposed to go back into STEM and try to save your daughter.
Yeah, Mobius is the evil corporation that wants you to do this. They basically want you to go in and find Lily because she's being used as their core. She's like one of the most highly utilized test subjects they've ever had that is like responsive to their testing, and so she's gone AWOL inside this you know, this world. So he has to go get her out before the whole place collapses. The whole thing collapses on everybody. So it's crazy. And the cool thing is that with this game, it was produced by Shinji Mikami. And okay. He actually is, you know, he has footwork in Capcom because he's made some of your favorite Capcom games. He's made Resident Evil 1, Resident Evil 4. He had, you know, hands in all those. So
yeah.
Wonder, did he get into the most recent Resident Evil?
Seven?
No, I don't think he had any hands in that one for sure. But
that one I loved. That was such a good game. Like, I think that was the best one for me.
Well, out of all the Resident Evil games, except, I mean, other than that one, 4 is considered to be the best one, and that was Shinji.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. Yeah, he had a hand in that one. I don't think he actually made it, but I mean, he's one of the producers of it. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so he broke off years ago and created his own development studio called Tango Gameworks, and so that's why if you're playing the game, you like instantly. When I started playing, I was like, this feels like Resident Evil,
yeah,
like one of the older ones, not the newest one, Resident Evil 7. But it feels like this feels like the mechanics of it. Even when you're picking up herbs off the ground and you're doing like, you know, combining stuff at a workbench to make more bullets and stuff, I'm like, this feels real Resident Evil right
nice.
Now.
Okay.
And then, so I did a little research, and lo and behold, he's behind it. So that makes makes complete sense.
So if I went to the game store today, which I will be doing, and I had to pick between buying Middle Earth Shadow of War or Evil Within 2, which one would you guys recommend I pick up?
You might like this one more.
I'm going to say Evil Within 2.
Okay.
Especially being a horror fan. I mean, it does a lot with psychological horror, where some games are just trying to jump scare you. And if you were to compare it to Resident Evil 7, Resident Evil 7 is like, this is an immediate danger physically in this house. I'm trying to avoid these people, this crazy family.
Sure.
Where this game is more internally. This is the mental games. So something would be in front of you, poof, disappear, you turn around, you turn back around, there's a wall there now. There was just a hallway there. What the hell happened?
Okay.
It's a lot of that stuff.
Nice. Okay.
So, yeah, I mean, the other game is fantastic, but you had mentioned earlier that RPG stuff isn't quite your...
Or kings and knights and swords
kings and knights
and stuff.
So this is probably more up your alley.
Definitely.
For me, that's great. Yeah, I'll probably end up doing that. But I was just saying also for like gamers in general, like which one would you recommend just to your average gamer if they only had $60 and they were trying to
pick? Depends on what they like, I suppose.
Okay, cool.
But
they're so different. Yeah,
they are.
It's hard to say.
And Shadow of War can be a lot longer game depending on how much of the stuff you choose to do. And this game is a little bit more streamlined. There's more open areas in the first game. The first game was more corridors and hallways and buildings and stuff, where this is blown out into bigger areas.
Huge hubs.
Yeah, you can choose to avoid some of these, like, they're not zombies, but they're like these weird creatures and stuff.
Okay.
You can choose to like...
They're just messed up shit. That's
You can choose to avoid them completely in this game. They give you the option. You want to hide and sneak around in the bushes and go around them and avoid conflict? You can do that. If you
stealth
come
is,
out
what,
and,
is really well done, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
You want to come out and fight them? You can do that, but you have to... be careful about your inventory management, which is a staple of most of those, you know, Capcom survival horror games like Resident Evil. So
sure,
yep,
it's good stuff.
Sweet,
and you can upgrade your abilities with like stealth or with your endurance, so you can run farther. With stealth, you can make yourself quieter and be able to do like better stealth kills.
Okay,
like grabbing something from around the corner,
sure,
and killing it without being noticed. So
cool.
Yeah, it's pretty sweet.
I'm enjoying it. I'm going to keep going. I don't think it's that long either. Have you heard any word about how long it is?
I'm not sure.
I don't want to guesstimate and be wrong, but I want to say it's on the shorter end of the spectrum. So the price of entry as far as time, if you don't have a lot of time to get a good game in there and beat it, especially with how packed the fall is becoming right now anyway.
8 to 10 hours maybe?
Maybe even less than that is what I was hearing.
17 chapters total. It's pretty widely varied, but you'll likely have 15 to 20 hour playthrough.
Oh, that's not bad.
Okay. If you're looking to get all the collectibles and complete all the side missions, it'll take you closer to 25 to 30 hours.
Yeah, I'm on chapter 3 and probably in 4 hours. So I
nice
just taking my time, you know, trying to
resonances
killing
chapter
things.
3.
Yeah,
yeah, cool.
Yeah.
Very nice. Cool.
It's good stuff, dude. Check it out, especially this time of year. It's Halloween. You want to, if you like scary stuff, you want, you know, it's good. Check
this
it out.
This is great for Halloween. Mm-hmm. Awesome.
Very good. Cool.
Love the creep factor.
Yeah.
Cool.
Well, shit. Let's go ahead and talk about, get a question in or an email or something.
For sure. Let's do it.
Let's talk about loot boxes just a bit more. I know they were beating the dead horse on this. I don't really think it's dead. I think it's still galloping around, actually. But
loot box spirit. Lackeys
should be dead.
We need to kill spirit. Well, let's kill the horse, right?
Yeah. I mean, the only reason why I want to bring it up again is just because of the fact that it's such a prevalent thing right now in the gaming industry. We're seeing a huge surge of these things happening. I mean, so my question to you guys, are loot boxes and microtransactions getting out of control right now?
And yes.
I just think it's like a lot of bullshit, man. And that's why I don't really mess with it, because I don't know. I suppose there's some good stuff like to be had there, but I feel like there's a lot more negative than there is positive. And I feel like every week we're talking about some gaming company screwing gamers over with loot boxes, or making life hard for the people who don't buy loot boxes, because the people who do buy them are just whooping your ass left and right because they have an unfair advantage in the game.
We just suck.
And it's just like, no, it's the Star Wars thing that we were talking about last week. I mean, I just feel like it's, why do it? It's just a cash grab for people. It's like variant covers with comic books.
I think there's a right way to do it and there's a wrong way to do it.
I agree 100%.
Like Overwatch does it the right way, since it's just something you don't even need. It's skins. So if you want, and you're going to get them anyway, but if you want to spend a little bit of money, it does kind of help them to actually make more content.
Yeah, I mean, I'm cool with skins.
Yeah, and it's just skins, so I'm fine with that. But yeah, with Star Wars, I got a problem with it because they actually have weapons.
Yeah, man. Like, I get pissed when it's like, you can buy things that are going to make it so you can beat me a lot faster, and it's giving you an unfair advantage over me in the game. At that point, the game's not fair anymore, and I don't like to play an unfair game. I get bored as shit with that.
Well, there's RNG as well, so you might end up getting just skins and nothing else, right, or poses.
Yeah.
But there's a chance that you will get a better weapon, so the fact that they are even adding that chance of a weapon that might be better than your standard weapons could screw up the balance of the game.
Mm. I don't deal much with loot boxes or players that play with loot boxes, because even I actually stopped playing Call of Duty, but Halo 5 deals with a lot of loot boxes, and you get like, when those boxes, you get like strong ass weapons, but it doesn't make you better at the game. It just gives you a little advantage, but you still are gonna get, you're still gonna die, because you're seen as one of those players that have like an ultra rare weapon. You're instantly gonna get attacked by like 10 other players, so it doesn't give you, it not really gives you an advantage. It just gives you a target.
So you're saying skill really is what matters,
yeah,
more than anything else.
And most of these,
it's
most
true,
of the players don't even know how to use that weapon because it's too strong.
Well, that's also what they were saying too with Battlefront 2. That was part of what EA's rebuttal was to everybody, to the backlash of the loot boxes. They were saying that a lot of that stuff locked behind progression. Like, you need to hit a certain level before you can even use this thing, or before you can even use this upgrade. You need to hit level whatever. Now that changes the conversation a little bit, because if somebody has way more time to play a game and they've hit that max and I just don't have the time to do it, I can't be a little bitch about it because they played, 50 to 100 hours and I've only put in 30 or 40. I mean, it's just the way it is. Don't play single player, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But you can also make it a little better too, and some games will turn off that stuff. So, for instance, Injustice 2, okay, one of the games this year that had loot boxes as well. Injustice 2, Shadow of War, Battlefront 2, Forza 7, PUBG, they've all had loot boxes this year, just name a few. But in Injustice, the cool thing is, when you go online, all that shit is stripped away, and it's just base fighters fighting against base fighters.
Yeah.
So if games will put that in there, like, let's say, for instance, Battlefront 2 has an area where it's like, hey, this is multiplayer, this is going to be competitive, and this is going to be like the true real deal. All that shit's turned off. Enjoy.
I agree with that.
And then this over here is going to be where you can use all your shit and have at it. Choose to do it or not.
Let people have a
let
choice.
Me choose.
If you want to use all that shit,
yeah,
you can go and play multiplayer in this arena. And if you want to just play on an equal player field, then play in this other mode or something.
Yeah, because like for me, like I know a lot of you guys too, we're all busy. We all have different things going on, whether it be multiple jobs or family or whatever the case may be. The time is limited, and so if I can just jump in and play like just none of that shit turned on. It's just these. You have these weapons to choose from. We all have access to all the same shit. Let's see who's better. I can hop into that, enjoy it, and get out. Yeah. Where, let's say, if you have been putting 100 hours in, hey, man, if you got a nice upgrade and stuff you want to use, you've earned that shit. And mm-hmm. you want to see how you stack up to somebody else with the same type of stuff, do it. But I think right. they should just separate it then, if that's the case. If this is going to be agree. That big of a deal,
yeah,
make
I agree.
Them separate.
I'm cool with that.
Yeah.
I would take that for sure.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think it'll shake out that way, unfortunately.
Yeah,
maybe they'll lock some stuff behind progression, like they were saying they're doing. But and also to play devil's advocate, this stuff hasn't come out yet. I mean, we saw a beta, and everyone's losing their minds over it. But I think it's also because of the trend. Like we said, this year is one of those years where it's like the loot boxes are just there. You can't walk five steps without tripping over one.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. So
you guess that's how they're making money, because the $60 isn't actually paying the bill anymore. So either they got to increase the price of the games, or this is the kind of shit they're going to be doing. I just hope they don't increase the price of the game and keep doing this shit too.
I agree with that.
Yeah, it's like we said before, it's devil's advocate, because if you look at the other side of it, games haven't gotten cheaper. Games have been $60 probably since since early 2000s, something like that, maybe. So like 17, 15 years, something like that. $60 is the staple.
Yeah.
And over that time, technology's gotten better and more expensive, and we all want games to have higher fidelity, 4K gaming, and all this stuff. This is all the rage right now.
Costs a lot of money to make
Think
that
about
stuff.
That, how much it costs to make that shit, you know? Mm-hmm. And then you want a game to be longer. I want a game to have a campaign now and all this stuff. Where's that money coming from? I mean, not saying I'm an advocate for corporations or anything like that, but just keep in mind that kind of stuff too. They're trying to recoup some of that cost.
Now they gotta make money. That's what a company does.
Yeah.
But. Yeah, and I'm okay with them making money. There's just a line between like making legitimate money and
not screwing us.
Cash grab, like just selling us snake oil. And
Agreed.
I'm not okay with snake oil.
No,
it doesn't
no.
do shit. So
trust me, I'm on the same side with you guys. What's but it, sometimes oil? You got to think about that. Except it's, with snake oil.
Yeah. back in the day, it's like this.
Here's a snake oil. 10% more experience for $5 for an hour.
It's a phrase like back in the early 1900s.
Oh no, we know what it is.
Well,
he doesn't.
Know.
He's trying to explain.
This dude would pedal around America and try and sell people snake oil, claiming that it fixes all sorts of ailments. And
your hair will grow.
Snake oil doesn't do jack shit. Okay, so when you hear someone say he's a snake oil salesman, that means he's selling you bullshit.
They even they even reference that in Red Dead Redemption 1.
The first one. Really?
Yeah. Yes. There's a salesman that you run into
snake oil.
In the beginning of the game. That
mm-hmm. I remember that.
He's like trying to sell stuff, and he's like, "Oh, these are magic elixirs." And
yeah,
it'll make your hair grow. It'll make it'll make you more virile. But,
yeah,
it's all a lie.
Yeah. I think this is going to pass, obviously. It's just like any other trend where it's like, you know, violence in video games or, you know, over-sexualizing female characters and stuff. These are all topics that have never gone away. They're just kind of the hot button for a while, and then it kind of dies off a little bit. And that's not saying that the problem is ever solved or done in a meaningful or thoughtful way going forward, but it's
you're just
a hot
hitting people's
right
pockets right
yeah.
now, and that's a hot thing when you start hitting people's pockets and
mm-hmm. yeah.
and making games hard to play. It's like then you're like, okay, that I could potentially see them running into problems if this gets out of control.
Yeah.
We don't want to ruin the balance of multiplayer.
That's the key right there. You said it right on the head. That word balance. If they can strike some balance going forward with this and. Hopefully that's in there. We just haven't seen it yet. We've played a beta. You know what I mean? We've got to remember that.
And Jose's right. I mean, skill wins no matter what, but you get enough assholes in there who have, like, rocket launchers and stuff, they're still going to take you out.
Yeah,
even
for
if their aim sucks, you know, if they have, like, guided missiles and stuff, you're going to end up getting cheap killed. And,
yep.
As long as there's no paywalls, I think I'd be okay with it, and there's some sort of balance. And then a level of choice as well.
And there should be no pay to win.
Any combination of that stuff, I'm fine with. So hopefully going forward, that's it. But, I mean, like I said before, and we were all talking about it, it's just going to be tough because anymore the loot box situation is kind of it's popping up in games that you never thought it would be in, single-player games now.
Yep.
I mean, who's to say, like, you know, more games like Call of Duty and stuff are going to have more of that stuff going forward. So
it always did.
It always has. But I'm just saying going forward, it's like, you know? What do we do with it all? But Yeah, I don't know. I mean, we'll guess we'll see what happens going forward. Mm-hmm. But are you guys okay with that going forward, though? I mean, like, with loot boxes being there, as long as it's meaningful and as long as it's balanced?
I don't mess with them.
You don't give a shit?
No, I don't care. I'm not going to touch them either way.
Yeah,
so.
No, I hear that. You have self-control. I like it.
I'm okay if they give them, away to us through progression.
Mm.
You know, I just hate the way it's going right now.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it'll clean up. It'll get cleaned up on its own to some degree. But it's great that people are speaking out because it keeps the companies honest and forces them to take responsibility for some of the shit that they're trying to pull. And not everybody's doing it in a bad way either. So I guess we'll see going forward. But yeah, other than that, anybody got anything else before we wrap up?
Nope, I got nothing, man.
You got nothing? No.
I want some tacos.
I had something, but we're out of time.
You want tacos?
And pumpkin pie.
And pumpkin pie. I don't know if you can combine the two.
Yes, you can.
Pumpkin spice tacos.
Dude.
Make it happen.
I'll make it happen.
Make it a dessert. You got my money. Put it in a loot box.
This reminded me of something, but we're out of time, so I'll have to bring it up another time.
Okay. Well, fair enough. We'll shelf that till next week. In the meantime, guys, don't put us on the shelf. Head over to glitchtherapy@gmail.com if you want to reach out to the show and leave a comment, a like or something. Let us know how we're doing. Ask a question if you want. Ring up a topic for the show. We're happy to dive into that stuff. Keep it positive to some degree if you do have comments, please.
Yeah.
Otherwise, head over to patreon.com/glitchtherapy as well if you'd like to support the show in a different way. As little as $1 a month, you can support the show or do one-time donations as well. So check that out if you want to help us in a monetary way. We always appreciate that. Please subscribe, rate, and review. It means so much for such a small act. Not only does it give us some feedback, but it helps us climb the charts so that more listeners like yourself can find us. And please check out Nerd Church Radio with Ben and the boys talking about all things DC, comics, characters, etc. Great conversation with them. Check them out. It's a fun time. And last but not least, social media, gentlemen. Where can we find everybody?
I'm on Twitter at HeyBenzilla, and I'm on the PlayStation Network at Benzilla with 3 L's.
I'm on Twitter under JoelGow1. And I'm on the Xbox One and the PlayStation 4 under Scorpio 1969.
Hey, guys. I'm on Twitter and Instagram. I'm HipsterMade. Go and stalk me.
What about the Xbox there?
Yeah, I'm going offline for a while. So
you going dark? Let's get
that. Yeah.
You're gonna go off gonna the grid?
Switch companies.
Going what? What do you mean switch companies?
Mediacom to something else
for internet. Yeah. I got you. Okay, okay. Going off the grid for a little bit.
Yep.
R.I.P.
Rip.
Yeah. If you want to find me,
how was that?
well, I'm just pulling my best Jose impression. But no, if you want to find me, you can hit me up at Nerdy Raimondo on both Instagram and Twitter. You can follow the show at Glitch Therapy on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. And if you want to game with me or just follow me on there to see what I'm playing or up to, hit me up at Dirty Dimes on both Xbox Live and PlayStation Network. Otherwise, game heads, that's been our show. Hopefully you guys had a good Friday the 13th weekend. Game on.
Game on.
Game on.
Game on. Game on.